Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
And a very warm welcome to you all, especially to any of you who are visiting us for the first time. Please make yourself known to us, either to myself, Mike Denson, or to our minister today, Reverend Jeff Bleed, after the service, and by signing the visitor's book located in the church porch. A warm hello to those listening via the Tech Ministry at home, hoping that you feel part of the Emmanuel family. The service today is being led by the Reverend Jeff Bleed, and we look forward to hearing your message to us today, Jeff. There are no extra notices except those in the weekly news, but I would like to mention that today is the last Sunday for the Christian aid envelopes, which are located in the church pews, if you wish to donate. And also, Liz has told me that the trading craft is in the foyer after the service today. Today's reader is Irene Chesterman. I will now light the Christ candle, after which we will have a few moments of reflection before the start of the day's service. Thank you.
I do apologise to our listeners for Norman Goodall's comment then, if you heard it. It's good to be with you. I'm doing a double act again today, I'm afraid. Friends, be assured that the Lord is here and his Spirit is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. I've chosen all the hymns from one hymn book today. And so we're going to sing our first hymn, number 114, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing.
Thank you.
I've chosen as our prayer of thanksgiving today one which we used to say together because it was in the front cover of Congregational Praise Hymn Book. And it's the prayer of general thanksgiving, which was written around 1635 by Edward Reynolds, who was then Bishop of Norwich. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And loving God, as we have thanked you, now we offer our silent prayers, seeking especially your support and forgiveness for those things which, by our actions or inactions, have not only hurt ourselves and others, but have hurt you. So in the silence of this place, hear what we have to say now. We would be still. Lord, we know that you are always ready to hear and respond. And so, friends, hear our words that we may all trust. Our sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we join together in saying the traditional words of the Lord's Prayer as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. For many weeks now we've been lighting this third candle in remembrance of the situation in Ukraine. But of course, as Robert, our minister, has often said, it's not just Ukraine that candle will be lit for. It's all those areas in our world where, sadly, there is fighting and hurt and fear. So we light this candle again today, remembering all those who are sad, fearful, hurt, and in many other ways expressing human emotion. May the light shine as a sign of hope. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We now make our offering.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on these gifts that we present to you now, which are given to you in so many different ways. While blessing our gifts, we ask you to bless the givers too. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us share the words of the grace together. The choir now sing the anthem, Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain of Triumphant Gladness. The music is by R.S. Thatcher, and the words are from John of Damascus. Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain.
The reading today is John chapter 14, verses 21 to 27. Jesus said, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We sing the hymn number 301, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I sometimes think that we can get ourselves in a bit of a state trying to understand certain aspects of our faith. I don't know about you. Many of us can feel that we're not true believers if we can't easily explain what the theological understanding and meaning of things like, for example, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the ascension, and I guess most especially the doctrine of the Trinity, and yes, what the Holy Spirit's all about and how it functions. The short answer to such questions is not easy, and no one should be concerned, I think, or underestimate how even the very brightest of minds throughout the centuries have had exactly the same challenges. Some explanations about these things, of course, can be so complex, so overly clever, that they can leave folk even more confused. And when it comes to the consideration that we're going to have today about the Holy Spirit, one of the best descriptions I know is this: the Holy Spirit is the divine force and influence of God over the universe and all creatures. The divine force and influence of God over the universe and all creatures. Well, here we are today with the Bible reading that's actually recommended for this Sunday. And with any luck, I'm hoping that by the end of what I've got to say, we might at least see the Holy Spirit being revealed or talked about a little bit more openly and perhaps with slightly less reservations. Because in that reading we've heard from John's Gospel, Jesus has just told the disciples that his time on earth will soon be over, that he'll no longer be with them. It starts off, if you remember, "Set your troubled hearts at rest. You believe in God, believe also in me." It's often a Bible reading had at funeral services. And of course you can imagine that the disciples were not only shocked, but very, very concerned to hear that news from Jesus. And he's fully aware, of course, that many people, including virtually all the disciples, are really not yet ready to be fully receptive to his message. We've got evidence of that in all four of the Gospels. He knows them very well indeed, those disciples, and he knows that they take time to begin to appreciate what he's told them and the things that he's been doing whilst they've been stood watching. So he promises to leave them with a helper, an encourager, a strengthener, a comforter, an advocate, as it said in the Bible. And that will help them to understand things more clearly. It will assist them in opening up in time the truth of his teachings. That word advocate means actually something or someone that supports and helps us to understand. A representative of a person, someone who speaks on behalf of another. So in a sense the Holy Spirit is speaking on behalf of Jesus and of course of God. And that Holy Spirit is also speaking partly on our behalf as well. See, I particularly like the term used for the Holy Spirit of comforter. And you've heard this before, I'm sure, from me. Because this word comforter, it appears in the Bayeux Tapestry, not in English, of course, but the translation of where a bishop has got a three-thonged fork poking up a soldier's bottom. It says underneath, "The bishop comforts his troops." Well, the word comfort really means he encourages them. And he gives them a bit of a thrust. The Holy Spirit is the force which can give us that prod, I guess. And it can speak to us and move us to action. That's the hope, anyway. A presence, I think, is the Holy Spirit, which takes us out of our comfort zones, which wants us at times to move on. And if you think of the presence of the Holy Spirit in those terms, getting a prod, making us think more actively about given situations, then I think it begins to help us understand again where that's coming from. Just stop to think, for example, of the people in your lives who over the years have had an influence or an impact on you, who have given you encouragement. It may be mum or dad, maybe gran or granddad, brother or sister, a teacher at school, a lecturer at university. It might be words spoken by someone you worked with, or even a passing comment made by someone you met on holiday. Perhaps even the neighbour has come out with some words and pearls of wisdom which have stayed with you. It may be, it just may be, please God, somebody in the church, and even a minister sometimes, who's caused you to think. In any of these situations, someone's words or actions have stayed with you, and you've owned them. And perhaps you've even passed those words, those actions, onto others, because they've influenced you, and you want to influence them. You see, I can immediately think, well, there are many I can think of, but there's one person whose words have stayed with me and whose actions have stayed with me all my life. My great Aunt Mabel. She lived with us long before I was born. She was a First World War widow, like many. She'd been church organist of Broad Hinton and Winterbourne Bassett churches for years. She told me many a story of the things that the vicar got up to, I can tell you. And she was able to look after me and care for me when my mum couldn't because of her multiple sclerosis. And through her interest in me and her keenness to help me to move on, she used to give me a prod, if you like, and sit me on her lap when I was 2-3 years old. She wouldn't be able to do it now, I realise that. But she used to do that, and she'd play nursery rhymes. And I would watch her, and then I would copy her. And that influence, that example, has caused life for me to take a series of turns over the years. And you've heard the result of those nursery rhyme copying acts that I did today at the organ. Some may say that's a good thing, others may not, I don't know. She also used to use a term regularly when I was a kid. Remember, to thine own self be true. And when I got to around 12 or 13 and a bit more cocky, I said to her one day, you keep on saying that, but what exactly does it mean? And she said, well, look at it this way. When you get up in the morning, the first person you see in the bathroom mirror is you. You should face yourself head on and say, today I'm going to try and be good and always tell the truth. Then at night, you'll be the last person you see before you go to bed in that mirror. Can you honestly say to yourself, I did my best. I didn't always get it right, but I'll try to be better tomorrow. That's what it means, she said. Be true to yourself. You see, to me, those two events, the piano and the mirror, involving my great aunt Mabel, have helped me, enabled me, encouraged me, comforted me, and helped me use my musical gifts and live my life in the spirit of her presence. I think of her often because of those words she spoke. And even though she's physically gone, no longer around, her spirit, to some extent, lives on in me. And from time to time, it definitely encourages me and gives me a prod. And I suspect you could give examples yourself of people that you knew
that are no longer with us in the physical sense, who've helped you beyond measure. So in that same way, you see, friends, the Spirit of God was left for us in the life and words and actions of Jesus. It can help us to believe in his message, and it can encourage us to action. And that Spirit gets passed on or shared around through each of our words and the deeds that we perform. We need, I think, to remind ourselves often that the Spirit of God revealed in Jesus is very, very difficult for many people to accept, possibly including ourselves at times. But I must admit that for a long time I tended to worry that because I didn't have a concept of the workings of the Holy Spirit. I either dismissed its presence or I saw it as some sort of magical potion which only a few people were able to swallow. It was special, and only special people possessed the gift of understanding its true significance. That's because, you see, I'd failed to understand that it was the revealing of Jesus' mission, as shown in words and deeds, to ordinary people like you and me. And through learning about the life of Jesus, what he said, what he did, and then following his example, the Holy Spirit is at work in the here and now, in our daily lives. That's the truth of it. Our consciences, discerning between right and wrong, good and bad, play into the workings of the Holy Spirit. And as we read the Bible, that same Spirit, I believe, can help us to understand and interpret its message for today's generation. It can help us to look again at how we as individuals or as a Christian community might express the life of Jesus in this ever-changing world. It can give hope and help and perhaps, just perhaps, a glimpse of heaven here in our small corner of the universe. We often say that the word Emmanuel, the name of this church, means God is with us. Now, do we believe that? Well, if the Spirit dwells within us, we know, we absolutely know, that regardless of what life might throw our way, yes, God is with us. We, you and I, work for Christ, not for ourselves. We, you and I, are the people who help to bring about his kingdom. We've prayed it, thy kingdom come, on earth as in heaven. We help to do that when our hearts and our minds, our words and our deeds are open to the sometimes disturbing influence of THS, the Holy Spirit. You see, to me, there is nothing magical at all in what I've been saying. Just a simple acceptance of receiving guidance, sometimes beyond the limits of our own thoughts and understanding. I understand that. That will give us the ability to see beyond the limits of our own horizons to an even greater experience of God's love revealed in the world. No, the presence of God's Holy Spirit revealed in Jesus is not magical or elusive. It's marvellous. It's marvellous. And it's there for each one of us to be guided to see more clearly God's will for us, for you and me, and this planet, of which, of course, we are very much a part. May God bless us in that understanding and in the tasks that lie before us. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn before our prayers.
of intercession, and it's another one about the Holy Spirit. 310. Gracious Spirit, Holy Ghost. So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mould me, fill me and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord Jesus Christ, you promised that in you we would find our peace. Give us that peace which the world cannot give, the deep peace of God, which passes all understanding. In all our troubles, anxieties, concerns, keep us calm and keep us hopeful. Grant that we may always know that we abide in you and in your peace through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to put our trust in you, because in you is rest. Today we pray for all pilgrim peoples as they journey through this world. We are a pilgrim people. We pray for all who seek for truth, all who strive for justice. May we and your whole church live as those travelling into your love and deeper into your presence, that the world may become a better place. Today we remember before you too the homeless, not just in this town or country, but throughout the world. All who have been made refugees by war and oppression. And yes, we do regularly mention Ukraine, Lord. But we all know there are many, many places throughout the world where there is conflict and where people live in constant fear. We pray in the hope that all leaders of all nations may be guided in the paths which lead to justice and to peace. And as we pray for those people who do not have the luxury of a bed to sleep on, a home to live in, we remember those who look out to them, the voluntary organisations, shelter, Christian Aid, giving thanks for all that Lindsay from Emmanuel here does to send out that Christian message to our neighbourhood. We think of street pastors. We think of all those who devote their time to the needs of those less fortunate than themselves. May your Spirit be at home in our homes and in our lives. May your ways be made known more clearly to us, and may we walk in those ways. For we pray for guidance in our journey through life, for ourselves, our families, our loved ones, and all people. Lord of peace, give rest to the weary, the worn, and the fearful. We remember all who have lost courage or hope in their journey through life and whose way seems dark and threatening. Hear us now as we pray for the troubled in body, mind, or spirit, and for all who are ill. We think particularly this day of David and Michael, known to some of us in this congregation. There are others, Lord, for whom we would want to pray, not just individuals, but situations. So in a time of quiet, we now come to you with our personal reflections. We would be still. My peace I leave with you. That is the promise. Lord, we give thanks for all who have come to the end of their journey on this earth. May they find rest and peace and life in you. We think particularly of those names on our weekly news sheet whose anniversary of their death is recorded this week in the memorial book. We pray for the day when we will be one with them in your eternal kingdom. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Make us one in heart and mind. Make us one in love. Humble and caring. Selfless and sharing. Spirit of the living God, fill our lives and our world with love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Just to remind you, don't forget the Tradecraft stall is open and is in the lounge at the rear of the church, close to the kitchen. My wife told me I had to re-emphasise that just before the end of the service. We sing our final hymn today, The Head That Once Was Crowned With Thorns. And the blessing as the offering prayer will be given by Steve Brain.
Work for the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.